this is Don Bluth, and you're listening to the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers.
Hi, everyone. This is Glenn Keane, and you are listening to the Animation Addict Podcast with the Rotoscopers. They are awesome.
You're listening to the Animation Addicts Podcast, episode 140, five-year anniversary, Truncate Silence.
Welcome to the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers. My name is Chelsea Robson. I am your stalwart host who's been here through the thick and thin of, well, whatever. And back for by popular demand, we have my two amazing co-hosts, Mr. Mason Smith. Mason.
Sorry, my mic was muted. Man, I'm still not used to the Skype thing.
And Morgan Stradling.
I'm back.
Everybody say yes. Yay.
Yay.
It's like coming home.
Back by popular demand. It's like we were banished for a while. It's like, y'all could come back.
I heard you guys. I heard you. I said, finally, okay, this one time. I will make a reappearance. No, I am back, guys. So I feel out of the element. I haven't done this in a long time. I'm not sure how to use the word. So no, just kidding. I'm really excited to be back. And we have a very special episode today. We are not going to be reviewing a movie. We are actually going to be celebrating our five-year anniversary of the Rotoscopers, or the Animation Addicts Podcast. We are going to be taking a trip down memory lane and talking about some of our favorite moments from the podcast and just reminisce. So it's going to be definitely a different episode than what you are used to, but definitely a very fun one.
Woohoo! Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi: People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know ya at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
So let's just go back to the very beginning. It's a very great place to start. I think we've mentioned this a few times on the podcast, but how the show got together. And basically, I wanted to do a podcast and I wanted to do it with my friends. And so I said, hey, Chelsea, we've always wanted to do a podcast together. Let's do one on animation. She was on board. And then obviously we needed a male presence. Usually it's the other way around. A lot of podcasts and shows, they need like their token girl. We needed our token guy. And yep. We got a heck of a token. It was Mason. And
I'm the best token ever.
And so 5 years ago, in February 2012, we sat down and we had no idea what we were really getting into. All we knew is, hey, what's a great movie we want to review? Beauty and the Beast. So we watched Beauty and the Beast and, you know, got on Skype, hit record, and the rest is history. Literally, because still 5 years later, that is one of people's favorite episodes about the Animation Addicts Podcast, which I agree. I still say that is a fabulous, fantastic episode.
Rotoscopers.com/1.
What are you guys' memories of that first episode? Things that stood out to you?
So my favorite memory was the fact, okay, we were doing it in my house and it was Morgan and I sitting on a couch in one of like this room. They're like, okay, which room is going to be the most soundproof? Because that's going to matter so much. The fact that we're using my like onboard microphone, and that was not a very good onboard mic. But we're like, okay, soundproof room, because that'll make all the difference. And yeah, we're just gonna push go. And then the crickets came later on. I just remember. I remember Morgan always saying, this guy named Mason is going to be joining us. And yeah, we just kind of started and it was fun. It was a great time. I liked it.
It was fun. I remember our first episode was kind of rocky. I sounded,
like this
because because of my laptop microphone. We weren't as geared up as we are now.
Not at all.
I do remember that. Mostly I remember we didn't really know how we were going to edit it, or like we knew we wanted to edit it, but we didn't really realize how much we would end up editing it, because it was like first three episodes. We were just like, hold on, guys. I lost my train of thought. Or we'd be like talking and be like, yeah, that is one theory about the Iron Giant, Mason. Thank you for your dumb theory. Or just awkward pauses and stuff.
Speaking of editing, there is one trick that I have implemented over the years. I use Audacity, which is a program to edit, and there is a special feature called Truncate Silence. And basically what it does is you select a certain threshold of silence. Let's say any silence longer than 3 seconds, then it scrolls through your whole episode and it will cut down any silence longer than, you know, said time limit. So I definitely implemented that a lot because, like you said, there have always been, every once in a while, really awkward silences where we all kind of sit there. It's as if we are trying to look each other in the face when we can't actually see each other. As like, are you going to go? Is he going to go? Should I pipe in? Should he pipe in? So Truncate Silence takes care of all of that. And you guys never knew. You just thought we were so on the ball.
So snippity snappity. Yeah, lots of awkward silences. We didn't really know who was going to speak until I just implemented my policy of constantly interrupting everyone. And it's worked out great since.
This is, yeah, he did put that, you know, in there what? Quite early.
I did have somebody who came to me and they say, you know, I love the show. It's amazing. But, you know, it really bothers me that Mason, he's always interrupting you, girl. You know what? I knew that happens from time to time, but I am totally okay with it because, one, when Mason interrupts, he has something hilarious to say, and two, it's just the rotoscoper's way. So I, when this person said that, I was like, so what, you're not gonna listen anymore?
It's,
like,
it's the rotoscoper's way. Like, men should be allowed to interrupt and speak over women. That's how it works.
And saying awesome stuff like that, it's great.
Just so you know, I've not harbored any resentment about that. That's just, you know, Mason way, and I love it. Wouldn't change anything about it.
And another thing about Mason, you know, is that the first thing, as you mentioned in our last episode, the first thing he always says is always for shock value, and then he gets serious. So whatever he says, don't, like, just let it go, and then you just know he's just wanting there to be a laugh. And if he gets it, great. If not, well, we just keep going, and I end up editing that out most of the time. So yeah,
Mason is completely unfiltered, and he has the gusto, and he says it. And because Mason is Mason, he gets away with it. If I would say some of the things Mason would say,
I can't get away with any of it.
People would tweet me, get hate mail, you know, all sorts of things. But
do you filter all the anti-Mason hate mail from me to protect me?
Yeah, actually, that's what this episode is about. We are going to unleash the chamber, you know, the old vault, and I'm going to play you all the hate mail that
Mason reads nasty tweets about him. if I ever did that, I would probably like go on a rampage. I'm just kidding. I'd be just fine with it. People say nasty things about me behind my back all the time, I'm sure. Like, his hair is so great. He thinks his hair is so great because it is. Or, oh, Mason is so handsome, I hate him for it. Or, Mason is such a great animator, he's great, and I don't like it.
You sound like that recorder, Will. What's his name?
Garfield. Oh, I sound like this. Take it from me. Mason is the best rotoscoper. Oh, I forgot about that. No, there's another one. Another one you got to watch on YouTube. It's called Garfield, like Garfield, except an F at the end. And it also uses text-to-speech synthesizers. And it's really funny. We talk like that guy all the time at work. We're so dumb at work. All we do is talk about memes.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros, two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
Like, honestly, we went to PAX South a couple of weeks ago, and our work had us go, and we were on this bus, and, like, all it was just a bunch of random screeching from us in the back of the bus, because we all really like this YouTube video where this guy's, like, yelling at this guy, and I don't know. That's just the point. It's like a meme, and it's an inside joke, and you would have to have been there, but I do tend to interrupt, and I have this really bombastic personality, and I'm happy that I found an outlet for my constant obnoxiousness on the Rotoscopers, and that people like halfway tolerate it. It warms my heart.
Yes, you have such completely passive women co-hosts who just let you step all over them, and you know, take it back 100 years. No,
I remember being at the Missionary Training Center, and Morgan wanted to steal one of the chairs up on the podium during a big talk or like a big conference. And so she like ran up there, and I just wanted to know what was going to happen. So she like ran up, and she just kind of pushed a guy out of a chair who was going to sit in this chair. Cause at the MTC, it was like a big deal to not sit in the like arena seats, but to just sit up front. You know, I think when they were playing a movie or something. And, I was like, wow, you totally just kicked that guy out of a chair. And then he turned to me and you were like, I always get what I want. And I was like, holy crap. Stay away.
That was my catchphrase for quite a few years. Like, I get what I want. So.
Whatever. I get what
Jen
I want.
And always gets what she wants. Chelsea makes dreams come true.
Oh my god.
I don't know what I say.
Yeah, well, I may not be the, you know, I will go out and steal the guy's chair, but I will very subtly, you know, edit you out of this episode if you cross me. Oh. So
well, there was that one time when I think it was one time when I actually wasn't interrupting. There was just a big delay in the call, and like we were talking, and all of a sudden I hear "Hey" from Morgan. She got really ticked off that we were apparently interrupting her.
I do remember that. There was one episode where it was just like too much, one interruption too much, and finally, yes, I put my foot down and said, "Listen to me."
Hey.
So crazy thing is we have had 139 episodes over 5 years. And for the most part, we were on a very consistent 2-week schedule. There's only been a few times here and there where we either missed a deadline or we pushed it back a week. But for the most part, you got an episode of the Rotoscopers podcast every 2 weeks, which I think is incredible and really exciting. And back in the old days, I could list you all the episodes and what number mm-hmm. they were. You know,
so
number one, Beauty and the Beast, number five, Toy Story, two, The Iron Giant. You know, I could go on and on and on. I could tell you all these things, and I remembered every single episode and all the little intricacies, the funny moments. But here we are, over 100 episodes later, nearly at 150, and I can't quite do that anymore. I could not randomly off the top of my head tell you what was episode 119. So I guess that's a sign you made it, when just all your work just becomes one amorphous blob. 119, the Don Hertzfeld shorts.
Oh, that was good. Nice. That was a good pick. One.
Oh, Hertzfeld, man, I had some things to say about him. I'm going to open up all those old episodes. Let's see what we got here.
Do you know an episode that I listened to recently that just made my heart so happy? Episode 32, Mulan, Yodeling Huns. Oh, my gosh.
That's another thing that's great is that we, you know, you can just say like a little snippet like that, Yodeling Huns. And it's great. I love that we were able to do that with the episodes. We have the episode, the episode number, the movie, and then some little snippet and funny moment. Usually, I would say 95% of the time comes from Mason.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Comedic genius like that. But a lot, again, it also comes from some of our tangential nature where we would just, you know, go off on tangents like we just did telling stories about the MTC and such, and ended up being the title of the podcast. So it was good.
Oh, man. Yeah, that one was really funny. And then because I was listening to it because I was about to interview the Bancroft brothers and Mr. Tony was the director of that one. So I was like, let's listen to that one again, because I was thinking, oh, that would be cool to have him do the episode, because we haven't even done that episode, haven't we? We haven't even done Mulan. How could we not have done this? And I was like, oh, wait, no, that was just pre-50.
We did that years ago. What am I thinking?
Oh, my gosh. I can't even remember these anymore. Oh, there's so many good ones. One of my favorite little quips that Mason did was episode 51, Corpse Bride, studio jiggling.
I was just thinking about that the other day.
It's probably my favorite one.
It holds true even to this day. Any Studio Ghibli movie, there will be lots of jiggling. And you know who else has kind of become studio jiggling part two?
It's like Sony. Illumination.
Illumination.
Oh,
yeah.
I would say Leica.
No, but that's what studio. We were doing a Leica film.
Oh,
and that's why we were like, it was studio jiggling. That's
See, this is how you know when you don't even pick up on the joke because it's been so long.
Oh man.
Yeah, we have so many episodes that in iTunes, it only shows the most recent 100.
Yeah.
So if you actually go to rotoscopers.com/iTunes, it makes it seem like the last episode or the furthest back is episode 41, Monsters University, which is not the case. So if you are a newer listener and you're like, what the heck, I would like to listen to these pre-41 episodes, just go to rotoscopers.com/podcast, and that's where you can find the archive. I wish iTunes would not do that, but I do not own them, so. And that was actually a cool thing, is we were featured in iTunes once a few years ago.
Oh, we were.
Someone from iTunes reached out and they said, hey, we like your show. We'd like to, feature it on the main page of the iTunes podcast store, store or whatever. And so I, sent them some artwork so that way they could feature it all nice and pretty. And it was a cool experience. And we definitely had a huge increase in subscribers and listeners during that time. So that was a really fun thing that we were able to do. The podcast has brought a lot of opportunities, to be honest. Things that off the top of my head, all the amazing people that we've been able to interview, whether they are, voice actors or they work in production or they're directors or some of these icons that we've looked up to, growing up and even today, the Frozen world premiere, Big Hero 6 world premiere, those were incredible, able to attend those. Just lots of incredible opportunities. What are some of your guys' favorite opportunities that you had because of the podcast?
Well, all of those definitely were some of the greatest ones. One that is actually yet to come is I was emailing with some of the people who work over at the studio, and it seems as though I can't totally guarantee this because they haven't sent me all the information yet, but they might let me take a tour of Disney Animation Studios.
The hat building.
So I'm super.
Look at you.
I'm super excited. That is yet to come.
That just recently opened up. That's exciting.
Because it's been under construction for a while, but we're revamping it all. So it's exciting.
Dang.
Yeah. Because of Mason and his connection with different people in the industry, I was able to go to Pixar Animation Studios in Emeryville, and I was able to tour the studio, which obviously was a bucket list item for me and was a dream come true. That was because of Chris Horn, who if he is listening, don't know if he is, but huge shout out to him. Check out him. And Pixar is as amazing as you would think it would be. And I was going to do a blog post about it that I took all these pictures and never got around to it. So maybe in the next few months you will see, well, I will try to grasp at straws of my memory and put something together. But yeah, I hope one day that Mason and Chelsea are able to go to Pixar because
that's a really
fun place.
Yeah, I can't believe I've never been out to those studios. I'd love to tour Pixar, DreamWorks, and Disney, definitely. Maybe someday I'll be in that neck of the woods.
So what about you? Do you have any favorite?
Yeah, overall, I think the Glenn Keane interview was one of my favorites just because of how it happened. Like, I think on one episode we were saying something. I said something rowdy or something. And we were like, man, I wonder if... Or like Glenn Keane would say this, and we like stopped a moment and we were like, man, I wonder if Glenn Keane like listens. And we were like, nah.
Morgan's
better things to do than listen to us.
Morgan's like,
rant.
That would be a no. No, he does not.
Oh, that's right. Morgan, ever the optimist. Well, she's optimist. She's just a rational realist.
No, it was so funny.
I love it.
He was so nice.
Up until Morgan told me that she was an introvert, I did not think that she was an introvert. But
I very much am an introvert. You've noticed, fans or listeners, sometimes I'm not on these interviews because the idea of doing some of these interviews actually gives me a lot of anxiety. I don't suffer from like clinical anxiety or depression. I'm far from that. But I'm like, you know, stressing me out just a teeny bit. If anyone else wants to take it, go ahead. So
we don't need to do a roto intervention for your depression.
No, I'm not depressed. Please
quote
do not
Goofy Movie.
This.
Quote it. You'll feel better. Do
that
it now.
Understatement.
Yeah, and then sure enough, he emailed us and was like, he made some comments on the movie that we were reviewing, and then he said, "We are watching."
Yeah, we're listening.
We are listening. He sounded like Optimus Prime. He was like, "We are here. We are watching." And yeah, so that was that, and that was just so cool that we got to have him on. We talked about what was that thing he made? It was like a 2D animated film that you could move your phone around and watch, and it was kind of like a non-linear story.
Duet.
Yeah, yes. Duet. That was what it was. And man, that guy was just so positive and just so nice and gracious. We did a Facebook Q&A with him. That was the coolest part. So we did the interview, and then we were sad because we only had time with him to ask like three questions from the Facebook group. And then he actually physically went on our Facebook group on the on his own account and started answering people's questions. And it just generated this like epic discussion about him and stuff. And he really opened up on some personal levels, and it was really, really inspiring. And man, it's just really special to have someone like Glenn Keane take the time to talk to our fans like that and engage with them. That was just awesome. And so that overall, that was a really fun episode and a really fun experience, like overall getting to connect with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, I mean, you can't forget Steve Hickner, who's just, he's like, that's the voice, the sound clip everyone makes, everyone who knows Steve Hickner makes that. Aw, Steve, he's so great.
He really is one of the nicest guys in the industry. Now, that being said, I have not met all of the guys and gals in the industry, but of the ones that I've met, well, they've all been amazing, but he just has a little cherry on top that, and he's just so sweet. So, and he's always been he's always been really willing to, send us voicemails or answer questions.
Yeah.
He's involved in quite a lot of things. I think it shows a little bit about his character and how much he loves all of this and the industry that he works in. So shout out to Steve, shout out to Glenn. Another big one for me is we have been able to interview Don Bluth
twice,
and his counterpart Gary Goldman once, the second time we did them together as they were preparing for their Kickstarter turned Indiegogo for their Dragon's Lair pitch presentation. And so that was cool because both times Chelsea and I were able to go once to his house because he used to have a theater in his home, and then that theater grew and then it moved to sort of a strip mall sort of theater called Don Bluth Front Row Theater. So we did it back in his home, and then a few years later we did it at the theater. And Mason, we didn't interview you the time that Mason got to meet him, but we, all three of us, we had Rotorama a few years ago.
Rotoroma.
Ah, Rotoroma. We'll do it in Rome, yes. Where we all got together. We met actually for the first time as a collective group, and Mason was able to, come and experience Arizona and Don Bluth Front Row Theater, meet him in person, in addition to the interview that we did later and Skype. And Mason was over Skype for that.
It was pretty neat.
Yeah, I remember that first one. I was at my aunt and uncle's house in Colorado. We were on vacation, and I was like, I forgot about this interview. Hey, can I use your Skype? And they're like, sure. I talk about intimidated. I think that was my first interview on the show.
Yeah, well, it was our first interview, like, total.
Episode 20, I believe?
No, 20 was Aladdin.
Oh, 21.
I think the biggest part that I remember from that was how much Don loved you guys, like you and Morgan and Chelsea, and I just I was feeling really shy, if you can believe it. I remember asking him some questions. I remember he asked me some questions, and I talked a little bit about my background, that I was I was interested in animation. Oh, I was still at BYU.
You were
doing pre-animation. I was just a little dinky freshman, and and stuff. And I remember talking about my aspirations. And I think the question he asked me was, "Well, are you good with a pencil?" And I was like, "I don't know how to answer that because you're Don Bluth." but I think Morgan chimed in for me. She was like, "Yes, he's very good with a pencil."
Yes.
And so yeah, I'm okay with the pencil, but I have a lot to learn still.
Here's a random story that just happened recently. So I go on. I'm the only one still single in this little, you know, triage, and I still go on dates and I meet random people through random sources. And I met this guy, and his tagline. That made me interested. I was like, "Say what?" He said,
"You date people with taglines?"
Well, it's an online
thing. She's clearly referring to a dating app.
He's got his old theme song. I'm so glad I'm conscious throughout all this.
Some dates you do wish you were like that, but not this one. This guy was cool. He was actually he played young Dimitri in Anastasia. And I was like, "What? That's so cool." So we talked a little bit about that, but one thing that I also remember.
Can I make him like 40?
No.
Oh, okay.
What are you trying to say?
Well, I don't know. young Dimitri. Okay.
Yeah, young Dimitri, not John Cusack. Though that would be really, really cool to just spend a little bit of time with John Cusack because he's cool. But anyway, No, I'd also reminded that one time when we were over, Morgan, when we were over at Don's review, getting ready for that interview with Gary, and they were getting ready for one of their plays, or they were like in the middle of
producers.
Oh, yes. They're getting ready for the producers. And he looks at us and like, I mean, only Don Bluth can get away with this and like without it being weird. And he was like, both of you have good figures. Would you like to be call girls? I'm like, what?
Call like, girls or chorus girls?
Was it, which one was it? Chorus girls? That sounds better.
Yeah, it was like a background dancer, basically.
We're like, what? Okay.
Call girls. That doesn't sound like Don Bluth. Well, it depends on the production. Yeah, I actually had the chance to go to the Front Row Theater, like you said, during Rotorama, and got to hang out with him. I've actually had the privilege of meeting Don Bluth a couple of times in person. The first time I met him in person was at Alamo Drafthouse in Austin.
That's right.
And they were screening All Dogs Go to Heaven, and both Don and Gary were there, and they did a Q&A afterwards. Of course, everybody asked the same thing, like, why'd you leave Disney? What do you think about Disney? What do you think about CG? And he was rolling his eyes a lot. But afterwards, we had an autograph session, and I didn't ask for his autograph. I just shook his hand and say, "Hey, I'm on the Rotoscope. I'm Mason from the Rotoscopers. We did that one interview." He's like, "Oh, yeah, you know, Chelsea and Morgan are really great girls." The first thing he said, and I was like, "I'm here too." And so anyway, I chatted it up for a little bit, and then yeah, I got to see him again at the Front Row Theater. We actually stayed for like half an hour after the show and just talked to him.
Yeah, just chatting away.
Yeah, and I think you had some of your family there too, Chelsea.
My parents, I believe.
Just a really, really nice guy. And I don't know, maybe the animation industry has become such a big industry and such a busy industry for people who are in these big, expensive productions. But I don't see a lot of that anymore. Like Morgan, I haven't met everyone in the industry, but I have noticed that a lot of those from the classic era or from the Renaissance era and before are just very, very nice people. They're just bright.
Yeah.
And full of creativity, full of graciousness. You know, they've had several decades of practice working with people, you know, and when you're in the animation industry, you work with all kinds of people.
Yeah.
You know, lots of egos flying around and maybe, you know. So anyway, that's still something I'm learning. You know, now that I work at an actual production studio, and it's definitely, you definitely have to learn how to work with people.
Or you could take it. They need to learn how to work with you.
Yeah, I like that better, but it's more realistic to say, I got to work with them.
Yeah, well.
Sometimes, I don't know. Sometimes I wonder if people at work are like, what the heck is up with that guy?
Dude, what's his problem?
My personality
is... Always want them thinking about you.
Well, yeah, that's kind of how I am. I don't know when it was. Maybe it was while I was at BU, to tell you the truth, for about a year after I came back from Argentina and was at BYU, I was actually kind of shy and I was pretty emo, actually. I was having a hard time adjusting to the culture of Provo, Utah. It's a very singular culture, very peculiar. And I had trouble dealing with my own anxiety, like not succeeding in the dating game and stuff. And I really didn't have a lot of confidence. And I was a very negative person and just kind of miserable all the time. And around the time I met Shanna, I guess like knowing that there was someone who could actually stand me, but who I also liked, you know, really liked being around. And just like dating Shanna, just kind of my personality kind of changed. And I kind of let go of what I thought of what I thought people thought of me. And I was just like, you know what, screw it. If people think I'm weird for having a lot of energy and being really creative and saying random stuff, then they're probably not worth trying to be their friends anyway. And so I don't know. I definitely come off as obnoxious and like sarcastic, but I think people just need to know that the number one rule about me is that the first thing that comes out of my mouth is either always a joke or like a random quote or something that's meant to like get a reaction out of you. And once I see that you've reacted the way I want you to react, then I can trust you.
So if you don't laugh at his jokes, you are not to be trusted.
It's not really that, because I don't expect some people to laugh at what I say, but I do like sometimes I just say something so that people will be like, wait, what did you just say? Or like, that's weird or something. And then I know that you're normal, you know? I can't
even
explain.
Isn't that the goal in life, to find someone who just can stand you?
That is the goal,
yeah,
isn't it?
Well, Shanna whipped me into shape. I was running around in soccer jerseys and man capris after being in Argentina. And maybe some people who've seen us figured this out, but a lot of people don't know this, but me and Shanna actually have exact polar opposite personalities. Shanna's an INTJ, and everybody knows that INTJs are evil, right, Morgan?
I'm an INTJ, and I apparently am the Sith Overlord.
Yes. You are. I mean, Slytherin, it's so obvious. Actually, Shanna got so mad, she took the updated Pottermore quiz and got Gryffindor, and she was like, don't tell anyone that I got Gryffindor. We always have to say that I got
Shanna
Slytherin.
And I seem like two peas in a pod. I'm very disappointed we don't live in the same area, because I feel like I'd get along perfectly with her.
Sometimes I would take...
Same thing. I wanted to be Slytherin, and I was Ravenclaw. I was like, grumble, grumble, but Ravenclaw is cool, so I'll take it.
Yeah, yeah. There's no shame in Ravenclaw. There is shame in Hufflepuff, though.
I don't remember if I've ever taken this.
Oh, you got to. Otherwise, we can't judge you for it. But yeah, me and Shanna are exact polar opposites. And I'm like an ESPF or whatever combination that's supposed to be in. And like, obviously, no relationship is perfect. Like, a relationship takes time and attention to, you know, to grow. And there's always growing to do and stuff. But me and Shanna have like a blast, because I don't know, it just kind of works out. It's literally one of those opposites attract thing. And yeah, Shanna was like the only person that I dated that was even remotely like that. I always dated people who were a lot like me, and I ended up like hating them afterwards. So anyway, speaking of tangents, that's a little view into my personality. And like, I hope nobody gets like super offended by stuff that I say. Like, I never say anything that's like not safe for work, but like, I don't know. People need to know that it's like I have a radio persona, but I also have this like weird personality where I like have to entertain people. Like, if I can't keep people entertained or at least like uncomfortable in some way, then I feel like I don't have a purpose. Maybe that's a complete personality disorder, but
that's why you are on the internet. That's the whole point of being an internet personality, is just
to make people uncomfortable.
Yes, be very polarizing.
Yeah. So thankfully, my personality has helped me be very extroverted and very eager to talk to people. And so I really enjoy all the interviews that we get to do, mostly because it's just so cool to get information from the perspective of the actual producers and the actual like artists and people in the studio.
Yeah, I'll agree with that for sure. I am a ENFP. So
very close to me.
Yes. So I get that in you. And so I definitely love...
She gets me.
I get you. To a degree.
Hashtag it gets better.
Because I'm apparently called the campaigner. You're more of the entertainer.
Yeah. I'm definitely a Fred and George Weasley. Well, yeah. Yes, you could.
Jonah's a Harry Potter. You had a twin, so that could come true.
Well, you know, I don't. Two Masons in one universe. Well, it's not a clone. It's just a twin. But yeah, here's a Harry Potter Myers-Briggs chart, Chelsea.
Oh, really?
Yeah. My life is this funky fan fiction where Ron Weasley got together with Draco Malfoy. So I'm sure there are plenty of fan fictions about that, but that's basically describes our marriage. She's either Draco Malfoy or Severus Snape, and I'm either the Weasley twins or Ron Weasley.
So for those who don't know what we're talking about, you can take your own personality type quiz at 16personalities.com and check it out. See what you are. See, are you a Mason? Are you a Morgan? Are you a Chelsea? Are you your own little thing?
Yeah.
Take it to find out.
We should make a Myers-Briggs chart for just us three. And be like, which rotoscope matches your personality? Yeah. So that kind of brings us to our fans.
Let's see. I've just looked this up to see where I fall. And yeah. I am a... Who is that? Is that Ron Weasley?
Say the name that's
if
under
you're
the
you're a Harry Potter fan and you have to ask that. You're not a Harry Potter fan.
No. Like,
well,
it's
there's
somebody's,
those funky illustrations.
Yeah, it's a somebody's random illustration and it's... I can't see it very well, so I'm going to look at a different one.
High resolution.
See what comes up.
Well, right, while Chelsea's looking that up, can I just say that we have like the coolest and funnest fans / listeners ever?
Yeah, we do.
You can say that.
The Roto Nation, people. The Roto Nation is here to stay.
Love it.
And I've had the opportunity of actually doing episodes with some of them too. So
yeah,
that made me really happy. We had a couple for two of the episodes that we did while you guys were out, both Trolls and Moana. Those were pushed forward from Chad Lewis of Lewtoons. If y'all should know who he is, because he's pretty awesome. YouTube fame.
Yeah, YouTube fame indeed.
Rachel Wagner, who's a Roto writer, also has her own YouTube stuff. And then Pablo Ruiz and Ryan Pareto. They joined me for Moana, and apparently they love to cry.
Aw.
So, they're very sensitive lads. I loved that whole episode was phenomenal. So definitely check that out.
Aww.
Yeah, one thing that's pretty cool is a lot of our Roto writers and Roto staff who, you know, actually help contribute to the website. The website is where you can go to find news, reviews, interviews. It's all volunteer-based on how much someone wants to post. It gives people an outlet and a platform to gain credibility in the animation world. We've had people that have gotten jobs in the animation industry because of being on the Roto team. And a lot of the fans started out as fans and then put in applications and then became part of our inner circle, which is really cool. And I know lots of you are listening and are wondering, what the heck? I submitted an application to be a Roto writer. That was 6 months ago in the summer. What the heck happened? Well, I had a baby and things got stressful and I am actually going through those right now as we speak and should have decisions in the next few weeks. So I apologize because that's like ridiculously pathetic, but I kind of jumped the gun on that one. But anyways, the fans are super cool, and I love the different members of the Roto staff and Roto team that we've been able to meet, and then just people. You know, it's funny because I can kind of bucket the different listeners into different categories. There's the ones that are super active on Twitter, and I engage with them on Twitter a lot. There's the ones that call in all the time, and I just love I can, you know, say a name and I know their voice and just what they're going to say kind of and their perspective. So that's really cool. Then we have the patrons, just all sorts of different types of Roto fans. I love it. It's been really great to find. And this is one of the most common things that people say when they leave a review or when they reach out and we're talking. And it's just, I never thought there was someone like me. It's really cool that I was able to find a group of friends who like to talk about animation on a more serious level. I mean, serious, I guess, would have an asterisk next to it. We are quite goofy, but we just love to talk about it. And we don't really consider it, you know, kid stuff as everyone else does and look down on it. I think that's what makes it cool is because we kind of all are living in this world where people judge us for liking animation. And we no judgment here. You have found your people.
Yes. And for all of those who are waiting, yes, I am Ron Weasley, ENFP.
ENFP, yeah. So I transition a lot from ENFP to ESFP or whatever.
Yeah.
ESNF. I don't know. I gotta look at it again.
Or I'm Albus Dumbledore, because I did it twice, and then another time I came out as ENFJ. which was Dumbledore, Ron Weasley. I love that video.
We even have, speaking of listeners and fans, we even have people who were Rodo enemies
and then
became Rodo allies.
It's true.
And we had one guy who worked in the industry who first or second episode, he would like send us nasty messages about how we were hacks and we were no good. And we probably didn't sound like we were any good.
But, we were literally two episodes into it. I mean, what were you expecting?
I know. And I think Morgan handled that PR instance of the few but crazy ones that we've had. And I think he like apologized. He was like, yeah, sorry. I work at this studio and I was just bored at work. So I thought I'd start trolling y'all.
That's I wanted to be like,
give me the name of your manager, please.
I got bored and thought I'd start trolling. Slippery slope, my friends.
Slippery slope, especially when you're like, I don't know, supposed to be working on a movie or something. But then he actually, I think eventually, did we ask him to do an interview or did he offer to do an interview? But we eventually just did an interview with him.
But let's turn this frown upside down. Hey, do you want to talk about your experience in the industry? And then, whoa, absolutely. That became a very positive situation very quickly. So
yeah, that was fun. That was fun.
Then we have had our crazy fans and the occasional disgruntled former rotoscopers person and the occasional person who got enraged that we voted the Goofy movie 5 stars when in his opinion that's what you give Gone with the Wind, but we gave the Goofy movie the same rating as you would Gone with the Wind. And
that's one thing that I've had to kind of curb as I've been as people really get offended with what you rate it. And I feel like now I have to press it every time that this is just my opinion of this. And my opinion means nothing. One day I'm going to give it a 1. One day I'm going to give it a 5. And guess what? We all just move on. And this is just good, silly fun. But, not everyone really looks at it that way. And they take it very seriously when, they basically do a cross comparison of all your star ratings and they don't seem to add up in their mind. And I'm like, well, that's why that's your list. Oh, this is my list. And my list means nothing. So you getting mad at me doesn't affect me.
Yeah.
It makes it seem like we have all this hate. We actually do not. For the most part, we've been very, very positive and had great fans and great feedback. And that's one thing that I feel really makes us stand out from other podcasts. There are fantastic animation podcasts out there.
There are, yeah.
Done by, people in the industry, animation greats. But one thing I think that makes ours a little different is that it's for fans by fans. So we're not trying to have this, incredible, deep, in-depth, thought-provoking, discovering the point of the universe discussion. We're just here to talk about animated movies and have a good time with other fans, so we do get silly and we do get serious from time to time. But that's one thing that I love is that it's really for fans by fans. So I know that our podcast isn't for everybody and that's okay.
Yeah. Well, but that's actually something that I've always really appreciated about being able to meet with you guys is, we end up most of the time we just laugh it off and just have a good time. But I do really like the episodes too, where we kind of get a little, get a little serious, we're so serious, but, like for example, I really loved our Prince of Egypt episode. I felt like that one just had a really cool vibe from way back when. Song of the Sea, also a really good one. I felt like that one had a lot of, just kind of like talking about us. Like I feel like all of our fans have been very open with us and not judging us for just, where we come from too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. There's a couple of ones that I really, really enjoyed. I really liked the Princess Mononoke episode. We had Myra on for that one. And that was really fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the freaking Robin Hood episode. Talk about an editing nightmare. If there's a truncating for silence, you should be able to truncate for like insane laughter, uncontrollable laughter.
That is one thing that I have enjoyed is we do laugh in this podcast. So if you don't necessarily like that we are laughing at our own jokes and having a great time, again, this is not the podcast for you. I know there's some podcasts where it's like, zip, Nope, we're getting to it. But that podcast, that is one that people frequently bring up, is the Robin Hood episode. And that's what I love, is that we just, because a lot of these films, we have grown up with them, we have so many memories and different things attached to them that we bring in when we have our discussions. And so it makes for just a hoop hollering great time. And I would love to do Robin Hood again if we ever, you know, go around the horn and review every single animated film out there. Then that will definitely be high on my list review again.
Yeah, we'll be in our 70s. And it'll be even more funny because we won't be able to remember everything very well.
It'll basically just be the same episode over again.
Yeah, I think that'd be kind of fun to do like second looks or revisited. I'd love to do another Rango episode.
I would too.
You keep throwing that out there.
Maybe we're just nostalgic for our own stuff.
Our own stuff. I don't want to listen to it again because I've already done that who knows how many times. I just want to re-record it again and relive magic. good time.
I loved when we went through our series, you know, phase.
Yes.
Like our
That's right.
Dinosaur and Drag, our dragon series. That one was fun.
Dragons.
Dinosaur.
Yes, there was
the dog series.
Well, here it is. And all the quotes, so many quotes. We had quote and quotables. We had a quote off.
Yes. That's why you don't join the circus.
And that's why. That's right.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. We also finish each other's sandwiches. Yeah. Oh, we got to talk about Frozember.
That absolutely was really cool.
Frozember was like the apex of our rise to glory, I think.
Yeah.
Or it's what skyrocketed us into the public eye.
Yeah.
No, we cannot talk about our wave and, you know, these past 5 years without talking about Frozen, because, you know, we had gotten a little scoop about Frozen and we got some, you know, character art and some behind the scenes. We got the plot and, you know, then we did a YouTube video about it. And then people still to this day say, hey, I've been listening to you since you did your Frozen stuff, because I was so excited to follow that movie. And the crazy thing to me is you look at Frozen and how just life-changing it has been for so many people. It is just such a phenomenon. And here it is, nearly a year before Frozen had come out, and majority of people had no idea about Frozen.
Yeah.
Disney had not, they didn't really release anything about it until about 6 months prior is really when the marketing machine started going. And so most people just had no idea about Frozen. And so, you know, the hardcore fans, we did, and we were talking about it. And then Frozember happened. And every single day in November leading up to the release of Frozen and just afterwards, we did different posts about Frozen because we were Frozen fanatics before anyone knew that Frozen was a big thing. And I even did a series of Frozen Friday with Chelsea videos, mm-hmm. where we just every Friday we did something related to Frozen. And one of those was a hair tutorial. And this is one of my strokes of genius, I must admit, is because I knew that Frozen was going to be a hit because it just had all the classic ingredients of a Disney hit. It was princesses. Oh, wait, two princesses. Uh-huh. It was a musical. It was animation. It just, everything from afar looked like this is going to be a huge hit. So I looked at that and I thought, okay, you know, what can I do to kind of capitalize on this? I'll be honest.
Kind of capitalize.
I thought, okay, well, Elsa, she has this amazing hairdo. So let's do a video doing her hair. Now, granted, looking back, that is not my best video. It's actually quite a horrible tutorial, you know, and I did a tutorial on how to do Elsa's braid. You know, half of it I'm explaining, oh, just do a French braid. And then in the comments, people say, well, I don't know how to French braid. You know, looking back, I probably should have explained that a little better. Part of the thing that I'm showing how to do is off camera. You know, that's not great for a tutorial, but that is one of our only videos that has over a million views on YouTube. And that is my little claim to fame when people ask, like, tell us something cool about you. Explaining a podcast and whatever, like, an animation podcast. Anime? You're into that stuff? It's hard to explain. So I don't usually go to that. I go to, I have a video on YouTube that has a million views and people go, ooh. And it has led to people at work saying, hey, I've been, you know, we've been interacting for a few months and say, I just want to you, I love your videos on YouTube. And I'm like, what? Situation. Or my daughter loves your videos. Like, oh, yes.
Wow.
It's just, and it's my boss's favorite thing in the world whenever we have a new member of the team to say, hey, this is Morgan. Let's go to YouTube and press play. And I'm just sitting there like, we have to live this again. But yeah, it's a fun thing. And it's just funny looking back now on Frozen and how big it was that, like, we really were ahead of the curve on that one, which is kind of cool to say. Like,
yeah,
we knew about Frozen before the whole world did.
Yeah. Well, and then
it might have gotten us in trouble with Disney a couple times.
Yeah. Well, as much
maybe
as
not
it got
Frozen,
us, in...
but there were a couple of movies that.
Yeah.
We didn't know our rights or our lack of rights for certain review things.
We're like, well, but it was, we were new. Yeah, I had several different opportunities to talk with other people, like on Twitter, that worked on the film, like, because they just started following us too. Like, all the people at the studio were like, oh, these guys are talking about our movie that we haven't put anything out about yet. And so they kept like posting and like talking to us about different things. And it was just like, this is just so funny. Like, it was just surreal, you know, because here we are off in, you know, in Arizona, far away from and far removed from any of this world, like where they're actually creating it. But yet, like, to feel like, oh, people like know who I am. What? That's cool. Yeah. And I did I ended up going to an animation, taughtbyapro.com put it on out in Tennessee. And I went there and I posted on Facebook, not on Facebook, on the website about it. And we actually had a couple people that came, you know, because of that post. And so I went and I wore my shirt and I had this one guy comes up to me and he's like, are you Chelsea Robson? And I'm like, yeah, I am. So we had one of those really fun moments. I'm like, yep, that's my fan. Just the one.
Hello. Well, I think I've only had one person. I think I've only had one person who recognized me outside of the internet. What's that called? Real life. Yeah. In real life.
IRL.
IRL. Oh, that's right. IRL. Because that's one of my favorite phrases on the internet is fight me IRL. I hate to say it, but I find myself typing that and commenting on that to more people than not. But anyway, nobody ever responds to that. But yeah, it was Mark Brown from the website. He was the one who wrote the awesome poem about us for the 100th episode.
That's a limerick, right. Yes.
A limerick, that's right.
Oh, that's really cool. I don't think I've had anyone just off the street say, hey, other than recognizing from the YouTube videos, but from the podcast specifically.
Yeah.
Well, very cool.
I'm actually, I'm clicking through the old art book review videos that we used to do and stuff. And then, of course, there's the Mason Classic, the pretty much the only video contribution I really made to the YouTube that didn't have like mostly dislikes. I really didn't like my trailer reaction for Sponge Out of Water. Do you want to know Mason's most embarrassing moment?
Yes.
On YouTube. No, it's just on the YouTube. That I did a review of the Lego Movie, and I had just gotten back from watching it, and I was also a little sick, so I was a little loopy. But I honestly believed that the movie was stop motion. So in my review, I was like gushing about how great it looked for stop motion. And anyway, thankfully, people haven't put me down that much. But of course,
it's all relative.
Of course, it's not all relative. It is an absolute that the Lego Movie is CG.
No, I'm saying it's all relative how much they put you down.
Oh, okay. But the behemoth of Mason's takeover of the internet is a video with almost 300,000 views, and that is my 100 animation voice impressions by Mason Smith.
Ooh,
you know, the video has been out for a while, and there's been a lot of debate as to whether it was real or not, or whether it was whether I cheated. And I have a confession to make.
Yes, tell us.
100% real. Please get over yourselves.
Except for the dolphin laugh. That's about it.
In what world would I be able to sink my mouth with the actual scenes and actors from over 100 movie clips in animation. Like, who would do that just to deceive everyone? Like, that is 100% real. Like, listen to them. They're not even that good. It's the confidence that sells it.
Yeah, this has been on his mind for a while.
It's been on his mind. Like, I feel like every week we get a comment that's just like, this is fake. You obviously had the actual voice clips and you're just mouth syncing over that. I'm like, I will take that as a compliment.
Yeah, that's how you know you're good.
Yeah.
That's how you know you're good. Hashtag no apologies.
Yeah, my embarrassing moment. Okay, first off, we are not, you know, animation historians. We are not experts. We are actually human. And when you are in the moment podcasting, you forget a lot of things.
It's
you
the
miss
passion and the rapture, and you forget yourself. And basic facts.
You forget things. And kind of like Mason, where he thought the Lego movie was actually stop motion, which that would have been incredible if that were the case. Yes. I initially. In the early episodes, we did news, and for some reason, I thought Wreck-It Ralph, just the way that it read in the different press releases, that this was actually a cartoon, a video game from the 80s that I somehow missed. And I thought Disney had bought the rights to this, and they, you know, took this obscure 80s arcade game and were making it into a movie. And I think in that episode, we were talking about the Wreck-It Ralph, you know, concept art that they had released, I kind of give that impression that this was like an actual 80s game. Yes, that is my confession. There's things like that have happened all the time. And if this were a clip show, I'm sure I would play a million different times where we misquoted or misspoke and just said things wrong. But that would take a long time. This would be the longest episode of all time.
All time. And I wouldn't be editing that. No. No.
Chelsea needs to be given major props for being the editor over the years. She does a fantastic job. I've helped here and there, but yeah, Chelsea really is the mastermind behind that. She gets rid of all our ums and, you know, a snip snip is our commonly used phrase behind the scenes. There are lots of things that just need to be removed and to streamline the episodes. You know, Chelsea does that. I use truncate silence, so.
Well, and also, I mean, we do things very much out of order, so later on I'll go in, all right, we're going to move this whole thing where we actually explain what the podcast is that didn't happen for another hour into it. We're going to put that in the very beginning. Yeah, that would probably work out good. So, like, we're just fun like that. And then also the bloopers always were fun.
All the bloopers.
I enjoy the bloopers a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, bloopers were good times.
Yeah.
And well, didn't really happen as much when we started going live.
Yeah, it's hard.
Didn't happen at all, I don't think. We just made our own bloopers along the way.
Yeah.
You guys just got to see the bloopers if you were watching on YouTube, because we could not edit anything else out.
Yeah. Well, I did want to say, I did have one video on there that this was the saddest point of our YouTube, was the fact that we ended up erasing one time I did a cover of Let It Go, and it had over half a million views on it. And the movie hadn't even come out yet. But because we had gone through so many problems with copyright issues, we were like, just get rid of it, because it's got a flag on it or whatever, because maybe that'll help our YouTube, whatever.
We thought our account was going to be banned and we weren't all these things, and we didn't want to risk it.
Right. So we deleted that, and that makes me sad. But still,
Chelsea probably could have been in the million view club.
I could have. Oh, yeah. Aww. It's okay. I'll get there. Speaking of, that's one fun thing about 5 years, is we've had so many amazing opportunities doing this. Like, we're all kind of looking forward and, okay, what's next? Like, mm-hmm. So what's going on? For me, I actually just started my own Patreon for my music. So if you want to go to chelsearobson.com, you can find that out. Find out more about that. You can also go to patreon.com/chelsearobson and I've got a lot of fun things going on with there. So I'm looking forward to, over the next 2 or 3 months, putting out a substantial amount of content on my own personal stuff for music. So about time, right?
Very exciting.
Yeah. What do you guys got going forward?
Oh, man. I It's just a bunch of, it's, I don't know, besides work and school and trying to graduate, not much. I do have a couple of side hustles. I sell drawings of our church temples on Etsy, and I'm give me some time and I'll do Gilbert, I promise. And and any of the 50 ones that are in Brazil, I swear there's like a ton of them in there in Brazil. And yeah, and so that's just a little side hustle. And then I am developing a game of my own, and I'm just slowly whittling away on it on the weekends when I'm not doing school and work. Yeah, that's the thing right now. I always have to have a project, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Gives you a goal in life. So I am back. I just had a baby 3 months ago, and so kind of coming back out of that, I'll be going back to work in next month, which is exciting. I'm going to be able to be working from home some of the time, which is nice. So I'm very honored, or not honored, I'm just very grateful for a company, working for a company that will allow me to do that. And I don't know, I want to kind of explore other things, not in addition, I guess I would say. I love the Rotoscopers and I'm really excited to be a part of the Rotoscopers, but I might be doing my own blog, might be doing something else, not sure. Will be on Survivor one day. That is still the number one goal in life and still actively trying to do that. So that is what is up with me. And so we want to talk about the future of the show. It's been 5 stinking years, which is amazing. And it's gone by really quickly. It's crazy how time flies. It just seems like we hit our 1 year anniversary, then it was 2, then it was 3, and the floor was a blur. And here we are, 5. And we kind of are going to go back to our roots and make things simple again. That's one thing I really feel, at least for me, some of the things that we have added on and done really kind of...
It made it complicated.
Made things complicated and just kind of overly stressful for me, at least.
Yeah, and not and fun.
Yeah, I sort of lost the zeal and the zest for life for the podcast. Not for life. Whoa. The zest for...
Morgan spiraled into depression because of you people.
What?
Let me rephrase that. I personally kind of lost the zest for podcasting last year. And there were a variety of things. I feel that the Patreon, while amazing, added just this self-imposed stress that I felt that I had to live up to Patreon and make sure that the patrons were getting everything that they paid for and whatnot. Actually doing live shows, while it was very cool to interact with people live and to have us on video, those were very stressful because they frequently just went poorly due to internet connections, low bandwidth, Google Hangouts not working properly. And you know what? When that happens once, it's okay. You laugh it off, say, okay, yeah, that's okay. When it happens twice, you're like, 3 times 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. It gets very old very quickly. So, you know, we are going to streamline the show. We are going to be just going back to a few of us recording on Skype, and then releasing the episode on the release date. So we won't be doing live, we won't be doing video anymore. And I really do think that this will help make the show fun again. Make the Rotoscopers great again.
Make Rotoscopers great again.
Oh, man.
Oh, we could make teal hats.
So, and Patreon temporarily is, or for a while, it's going to be on hold because, you know, I just feel that it just added all this level of stress. So we're just really going to pare it back down to our roots. We're going to finish up some of the patron picks, but then after that, we're just going to let it be us just talking about the movies we want to talk about. We may or may not I'll be honest here. We are not going to review every single new animated film. That was another thing that kind of added a different layer of stress. It's just, there's so many animated films nowadays. They basically come out every 2 weeks. And that made it really hard for us to review the films that we wanted to review. Yeah, so that is the future of the podcast. I am back, and you know, we'll be in and out as different hosts. So the three of us may be here. Maybe it'll be one, maybe it'll be two. So that is basically where the show is going to be going. And I actually think it's going to be 100 times better than it has been over the past year. So that's just my 2 cents.
Yeah, those are some good 2 cents. And
thank you.
Yeah, we were really looking forward to expanding the podcast, but I I didn't think we all realized that in order to like do that, we had to pretty much do this full time. And of course, you know, life happens and I'm still in school and we're working and doing stuff. And so it's really hard to carry that weight or put that weight on whoever is free to do it at the time.
Yeah.
You know, which is mostly Chelsea. Lord bless her. Bless her heart.
Please. I need the blessings.
So, yeah. I, for one, I guess this is the first time I've announced it. I've talked to Morgan about this, but you will definitely be seeing less of me, which could be a good thing or a bad thing. I've decided I need to take a break from the show, at least until I graduate, which will be sometime in August. So unfortunately, this will be my last episode for a while until August. But yeah, just send your prayers my way, because I'd really like to graduate in August and just be done with school forever. Then I can dedicate more time to rotoscopers.
Anything else?
And anything else.
And well, that's one thing I've always said, is that the rotoscopers, it's always been fun. And when it starts not being fun,
then it's not fun.
Then it's not fun. We need to kind of reassess. And then also, real life takes precedence. I know, you know, some of the writers are like, oh, I haven't written in such a long time. I'm like, I've been so busy with school, and I'm sitting here like, hello, school is number one priority. I'm okay with that. And the same thing with Mason. I'm really excited that Mason, he's in a graduate program. I've been in a graduate program. It's incredibly stressful. And there's just so much strain on your time. So totally support you in that, Mason.
Oh, well, I still have my email, mason@rotoscopers.com. So if anybody has any questions about the industry or it needs any advice, every once in a while I get people asking for advice and stuff. And I don't have my Twitter anymore, but there's plenty of ways to get a hold of me. But yeah, the email's definitely it. But thankfully, I being the ace computer scientist that I am here at the Viz program, I have actually written an artificial intelligence who will stand in for me. And I'd like to test him out. I'd like to test him out right now, if I could. Just give me a few seconds and I'll get him set up.
Oh, I'm excited.
Hello, Internet.
Whoa, that didn't come off very well.
Hello, Robo Mason.
You were listening to the Animation Addicts podcast.
Oh, that's...
This is going to be a struggle. Our new co-host is awesome.
It's awesome.
Wow, if this is going to be Mason standing for the next 6 months, yeah.
You're fired.
I don't even know what is happening right now. Truncate science.
Yeah. No, I'm definitely cutting this whole section out.
Did y'all hear him?
Yeah, we heard him. He was very hard to hear.
Could you understand what he was saying?
Not at all.
No, I heard animation. I heard addicts.
I guess I'm still working out the kinks on the artificial intelligence, but you're just going to have to make do until then.
Upgrade. We'll hold down the fort. So... Anyways, I want to say a big thank you to Mason and Chelsea for being incredible co-hosts and friends over the past 5 years. It's been such a blast doing this show, and I'm really excited to, you know, just simplify our podcasting lives and to do this again for, I don't know, another five. We shall see. No promises, but thanks for joining us for this episode where we were able to just take a stroll down memory lane. I'm excited that I am back. I really do feel much more invigorated about the show than I had been. So I think taking that time off and then just kind of really assessing and figuring out and pinpointing what was causing me to kind of lose my zest for podcasting, not for life. I always had that. Now that we kind of reassess that and say this is the new way the show is going forward, I feel so jazzed and so excited. So that's a sign we're heading in the right direction, at least for me. So,
well, and our next episode should be Aladdin and the King of Thieves.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Before I leave, I have to do the preview.
Yes, please do.
Let's see. This summer, live the adventure. Show me the way. Follow the trail of the 40 thieves. Your father is trapped within their world. Take whatever we please. Have about some grub to share? Pull up an easy chair. Welcome to the 40 thieves. And then, and original characters, including the genie, brought to life by the one and only Robin Williams. It's a kindler, gentler genie. Look at this. There's a couple. It's out of order, but that's like the one VHS preview that I always remember.
Oh my gosh!
I had to mute my mic because I was laughing so hard. That never gets old.
I love it. Mute laugh. All right. Well, I just want to say, Well, I mean, I'll be gone for a while, and if I'm not back in August, I'll certainly be back in December. But yeah, I just want to thank Morgan and Chelsea for having me on their show and for you know, making me feel like I'm a part of this, and I don't really know what to say, but yeah, this has been super fun. I never thought that I would ever like have like a presence online or like do like a show like this, but I really enjoy it. I really love talking about animation. I'm really happy that at least some people out there like to hear me, you know, talk about how much I think The Lion King is the perfect 2D animated film and how I think My Little Pony is a waste of everybody's time and, you know, my favorite Pixar films and why I'd rather work at DreamWorks than Pixar or Disney and stuff like that. So I'm very thankful that over the years, it's been a very positive experience and it's just been a blast. So thanks, Morgan and Chelsea. And I hopefully I'll see you guys sooner rather than later.
Yes.
So with that, I want to leave you with this rendition of this Disney classic.
Goodbye may seem forever, farewell is like the end, but in my heart's a memory, and there you'll always be.
So Mason, we are dropping you off at the side of the forest. See you later.
Wait, isn't that just from the freaking the Swan Princess?
The Fox and the Hound.
Fox and the Hound.
I've been forever. Been forever since I've seen Fox and the Hound.
We're dropping you off at the edge. You'll always be my friend too, Todd.
Oh, you're gonna make me cry.
Cue the waterworks.
All right. Better end this.
All right, so you guys know what's coming. Until next time.
We are the Rotoscopers. Oh, the Thunder Tube.
Oh, all their greatest hits back at once.
I had to find that out of storage.
Blow off the dust.
Mason Andrew Smith was unable to join this call. Why?
Think again. It is I!
That was literally the message that it gave me when I tried to add you. I was like, what?
Because I was adding myself.
Oh. He has superpowers.
Stand by, I'm opening up.
Stand by, stand by.
I will not stand by, I will sit by. Thank you very much.
No, oh, no. He said you were not allowed to do that.
Not allowed to sit by.
And oh. Occam's razor, the path of least resistance is most likely, is always the right answer. Anyways.
All right.
Okay.
Anyway.
Look it up. It's like when you're presented with multiple options, the right answer is the simplest one.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Truncate silence.
Truncate silence. It's the best.